Okay, so Parashas Tetzaveh, we learned about the big Likuda, we learned about it's also this week is Parashas Zohar. In this week's parasha, when we have the command to make the big day kahuna, the clothing of the kohanim, obviously there's a very big similarity between the kahuna, between Parashas Tetzaveh and the regular year. Parashas Tetzaveh usually is the backdrop for Purim, because this is Parashas Zohar, is the week of Purim, and there's obviously a connection between Purim and Tetzaveh. About in regard to the big day kahuna, how did the story of Purim start? The story of Purim started with Parashas Tetzaveh, where Achashverosh made a party. The first perek of Megillas Esther describes this elaborate party of Achashverosh, where he was celebrating the demise of the Jewish people. He was celebrating the fact that Yirmiyah gave over a prophecy that after 70 years there would be a redemption, and 70 years have passed and nothing has become. There's not even handwriting on the wall that the Jewish people are going to return. But I know at least Daniel, he was not the first, Achashverosh was not the first person to make a party to celebrate the demise of the Jewish people. His Shver, his Koresh, Koresh, not Koresh, Daryavish Hamadi, but going back two kings before, Koresh, not that long ago, also, I'm sorry, Daryavish Hamadi. Hamadi, he made a party celebrating the demise.
What?
I'm sorry, what am I saying over here?
I don't know.
I'm making a mistake. Let's go back to Belshazzar. Belshazzar was basically the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Belshazzar, Evel Meroidach, Nebuchadnezzar, Evel Meroidach, and Belshazzar. The truth is, there were really five generations. There were another two. There was a woman. There was a queen who was very influential in the Malchus of Bavel. There were really five different, but Chazal, for some reason, they don't mention her. They don't mention there was someone else there as well, if I'm not mistaken. But Chazal focus on these three generations, Nebuchadnezzar, Evel Meroidach, and Belshazzar. And he made a calculation that the Nevuah of Yirmiyah, everyone at the time was obsessed with the Nevuah of Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah was a player. Everyone dealt with him. You couldn't just ignore Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah says after 70 years, Jewish people are going to be restored. And Belshazzar made a calculation that the 70 years refers to the time when Nebuchadnezzar, he rose to power. The time of the beginning of the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar, that's what Yirmiyah was referring to. It's very clear that the Goyim did not pay very much significance to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. In their minds, the Churban Beis HaMikdash was not a major event. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, but that wasn't a major moment in time of calculation. Big deal. So you shut down the shul. So you go, you put up a stop order, right? You know, think about, you know.
I thought that's what gave them status.
What do we give them status?
Conquering Eretz Yisrael.
Conquering
gave Buchart's worldwide status.
Gave him conquering, not necessarily. Maybe.
That's what Chazal
say. Okay. The Chazal say they say it, but they both made these calculations. Mordechai Shalom Aleichem. Mordechai Mintz Shalom Aleichem. I see you in two places now.
I heard the first part.
I see you, Eminem.
Yeah.
Eminem.
I'm still there.
Okay, but. We have over here, I hear Michal Hu say it's 100%, we can't ignore the fact that Belshazzar, he made a party to celebrate that 70 years have passed, and there is no hint to the fact that the Jewish people will ever return to Eretz Yisrael. His calculation of 70 years was based on the day when Nebuchadnezzar rose to power. When we look at the story of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, like to us, it's like so simple. It's like not even a Havamina that the most important date was when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That's so posh to us. That's the date. That's what it's all about. The Churban is Estalkus Hashchina. But from a Goy's perspective, it means nothing. Go look at COVID. During the time of COVID, so lockdown. So what is the significance? Lockdown. So big deal. So you don't go to shul. There's no yeshiva. There's no problems. There's no. The goyim. Do the goyim have any hasoga that an Orthodox Jew, what it means to shut down every single yeshiva and Beis HaKnesses, it's like a big deal. By them, it's probably a much bigger deal than if you can't go to a baseball game. A Broadway show. I mean, it's not on their radar. It's not on a radar. Probably by the average.
That's why they react.
What's on their radar?
They able to what? Was still open. That was still open. That would be a major tragedy. It's not by an Orthodox Jew. An Orthodox Jew. What? When the first thing when you heard about lockdowns, so like what? How when are we going to daven? What's going to be the yeshivas? By the goyim, what? So you don't go to church? Okay, those who go, like, who cares? Like that's not a priority.
That wasn't true everywhere.
Okay, fine. I'm not going to. But you learn by the churm beis hamish. Yirmiyahu gave over a prophecy. Prophecy is written twice, a little bit differently. Once in Sefer Melachim, and once in Sefer Melachim, and once in Sefer Yirmiyah. After 70 years, the Jewish people will be restored. They will come back to Eretz Yisrael, rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. You have to look at the exact words, and everyone, the goyim, were grappling. Wait a minute. Yirmiyahu Hanavi was a holy person. No one's gonna. Everyone was afraid of him. When did the 70 years start? When did they end? It wasn't on their radar that the Churban Beis Hamikdash is a significant event that should be reconciled with. And according and Belshazzar, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, it was certain to him that the event is the rise to power of Nebuchadnezzar. That's the 70 years. And now it's been 70 years from that moment and nothing is going on. The Jewish people are in Golus just as much as they were the last number of years. Obviously, Yirmiyahu was wrong, or Yirmiyahu's prophecy is canceled. There's nothing to worry about. So what did Nebuchadnezzar do? What did Belshazzar do? He took out the big day kahuna. He dressed himself masquerade party. He made a masquerade party. He took out the big day kahuna. And he wore, if I'm not mistaken, maybe I'm making a mistake. Maybe it was only my Achashverosh that did that. I have to go back and review. But for sure the Caleb. It says the Caleb. That for sure. Okay, but that's not really the Purim story. Now, and then what happened on that very night? There was the handwriting on the wall, miraculous writing on the wall. Ksavashuris, your days are numbered. And he denied. They were terrified. They called in Doniel. Doniel interpreted what it means, and then suddenly they were under attack by the Malchus of Paras and Modai, really Modai first, Modai, and then Paras, and in that one very night they were wiped out, and it was a changing of the guard, and the kingdom of Modai and then Paras took over. They took over. Okay, Achashverosh, now it was Pesach night. Pesach night. Now, fast forward another couple of years. Achashverosh, he now starts to wonder about the prophecy of Yirmiyahu. Maybe it must be that Belshazzar made a mistake. The 70 years is not going to start from the time of when Nebuchadnezzar rose to power, but from another event. Could it possibly be the Churban Beis Hamikdash? Impossible. That's insignificant. What was his date? The Golus of Yehoyachin. The Golus of Yehoyachin. Yehoyachin went into Golus 11 years before the Churban Beis Hamikdash. It's now been 70 years from the Golus of Yehoyachin. Nothing is doing. There's no Beis Hamikdash. The Jews are not returning. In fact, the Aseres, the Helmet of Israel, can't stop. Israel Sitna, Rashi in the Megillah, quotes the whole beautiful medrash at length, the sitna that was written by the Aseres B'nei Ham. Look in the Megillah, Esther, look in Rashi, in the middle of the Megillah somewhere, it's like Ravish in the middle of the beautiful Rashi, and Rashi describes the sitna. He quotes the medrash, It's a very, probably the most important Rashi in the whole Megillas Esther, and it tells you the whole story of the Aseres Nehaman with the Sitna, the cancel, the stop order for Beis Hamikdash. Nothing is doing. So what did Achashverosh do? How does the Megillah begin? Vayehi bimei Achashverosh. Who Achashverosh? Hamelach Mehudav Yarkur, Shev Yashem Yomidina. And what does he do? He's disturbed with Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu's bothering him, the Nevuah. He makes a calculation. Balshetzar was wrong, but I'm right. It's from the Golus Yehoyachin. Nothing is doing. Let's celebrate. He makes a party for the entire world, including the Jews in Shushan for 180 days, all for one thing only, to celebrate the failure of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. The whole Megillah, the whole Purim is all Megillah, is all built on a foundation of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Yirmiyahu is the central figure, and what did he do? Parshas Tetzaveh, Achashverosh, the Shegetz, goes masquerading with the big day, Kuhuna, the Kohen Gadol.
The ghost of Purim.
Sorry.
The ghost of Purim.
Yirmiyahu is the ghost, that's right, excellent term. Yirmiyahu is the ghost of Purim. And here we have over here, it's amazing how Parshas Tetzav in a regular year is the Hakdama. In a regular year, Parshas Tetzav is Parshas Zohar. And it's fitting, it's not an accident, it's not a coincidence, it's by design that Parshas Tetzaveh should serve as the Hakdama to Purim, because the Purim begins with the Big Day Kohuna. The way that Achashverosh demonstrated that the hope for the Jewish people is over is he wore the clothing. This is the way he publicly demonstrated. He made a party, and he's the guest of honor. He's the guest speaker. It's his party. He's paying for it. The whole world is invited. The way he publicly demonstrated that the Jewish people have no hope is I am wearing their clothing.
And also he took all the kelim for the
rest of it. Oh, but it says the kelim, the kelim, absolutely. But the Medrash also mentions explicitly the big day kehuna. And that's why Parshas Tetzaveh is so appropriate to be the Hakdama to Purim, Parshas Zohar, because the Big Day Kohuna was his way, his demonstration of telling Klal Yisrael, you have no hope. You have no hope. You're done. You're toast. And, I mean, he was the guest of honor, Achashverosh. The Chelim Shonim, exactly, they used the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, but he dressed, that's what it says in the Beferish of the Medrash, he dressed all the clothing. And we begin Purim, Parsha Zohar is really the kickoff of Purim. And we begin Purim with B'machzir Atara L'yoshna. The way we begin Purim is to mechazik ourselves is the Atot Tetzaves B'nei Yisrael, and that's the Shem and Zayas. The Atot HaKrev Yelach, immediately after two psukim, HaKrev Yelach Aaron Achicha, V'yezbonav Itoy, Mitoch B'nei Yisrael, L'chahein Li. Through, Rashi says, through wearing the Big Day Kohuna, by wearing the clothing, it gives them their status of Kohuna. And they are a marshal for Klal Yisrael. We begin Purim with the mechazik ourselves, is that the clothing belong to us. And it's a mashal, it's really a mashal for all the difficult situations in Klal Yisrael throughout the ages, is that the honor that is in this world belongs to Klal Yisrael. Today you look at the world, Klal Yisrael, no one gives them much attention, they only criticize them. Well, only in a negative way. Yeah. They only give them attention in a negative way, and the world takes for themselves the limelight. They steal everything from us. Everything that the world has comes from Klal Yisrael, and they've stolen everything. They've killed us, and they've done horrible, horrible things. And it's very depressing. When you study Jewish history, it's very depressing. Jews come into a country, they build it up. They establish everything that they country, and at the end of the day, The country throws them out, spits them out, and tortures them, and vilifies them, and it's a mashal. The Megillah is the same exact story. The covered clothing is called in the parasha l'chavoid ulesifares. Achashverosh begins the Megillah liha covered. To me is the covered. The most beautiful clothing in the world are mine. He stole, exploited Klal Yisrael's kovoid. It's a mashal. It's not just the clothing. It says in the past, the purpose of the clothing is to be lechovoid ulesifaris. V'yosisa vigdei kodesh li'aharoi nochicha lechovoid ulesifaris. Kovoid and tiferes. Achashverosh stole the chovoid and the tiferes. And the Musa Haskel is, and that's the story of Golas. That is the story of Golas, where the Goyim, they steal the Kovod and the Teferis of Klal Yisrael. When we kick off Purim, we go back to the Kovod and the Teferis of Klal Yisrael. And the Hakdama of Purim is usually Parshas Tetzaveh, when it's the regular year, and we remind ourselves from the very beginning, don't be dismayed, don't be disheartened, don't be depressed. The fact that the Goyim have stolen everything, be mechazek yourself.
Look at the Roman Catholics, how they try to mimic the kahuna in their
garments. Sure, the white garments, the white, and this yarmulke, the red, and the black, the whole show. Everything they stole from us. Everything.
Today they would call that cultural
appropriation.
Appropriation.
They stole everything. They stole everything from us. The whole world. The Hakdama to Purim is to read Parshas Tetzaveh and to remember that the Kovod and the Teferes is the Klal Yisrael, and the day will come when it will be returned. Just like at the end of the Megillah, Mordechai Yotzim Lefnei HaMelech B'Levush Malchus Techeles V'chur V'Yateres Zavid Elav V'Sachach Butz V'Yagamon Chazal Darsh, and each one of those words in reference to some way in many different drashas. Also in reference to the Big Day Kahuna. The Big Day Kahuna, and the day will come when the Big Day Kahuna, which is a symbol of the covenant, the first will be restored to Klal Yisrael. This is the most important Hakdama to Purim, to remember that the covenant will one day come back. Now I want to make a mention of something.
Things they sing on Purim,
at the
Who does?
On Purim, Simchas Torah.
Okay,
now let's go. Here's one main point. When it comes to the Mishkan, who made the kelim for the Beis HaMikdash? Bezalel and Oholiyav. They are the ones who made the kelim. Who was the one who made the kelim, made the clothing? So if you wouldn't know, you'd probably say, well, l'cho'oira, it was Bezalel and Oholiyav. No, it doesn't seem so. It doesn't say. It's anonymous. Mm-hmm. It says, women, who says only women? You had to make the tzitz, and you had to make the ephod. There's in every single one of the garments was mole v'godosh chochei. There was weaving, there was things, but there was incredible chochma. Who is the one that made the clothing for the Kohanim, especially the clothing for the Kohen Gadol, which was extremely complex with the shamir and the avnei shoyam, the tzitz, the ephod. Oh, the osu chachmei lev, the osu chachmei. Who are the chachmei lev? Who, when it comes to the building of the Mishkan, the architecture of the Mishkan, it says again and again, Bezalel and Oholiyav. Bezalel lemate Yehuda and Oholiyav lemate Don.
So they were the Chachmelev?
No, it doesn't seem so. Because it would say their names would be mentioned. It only says their names in reference to construction, to the structure. It's not for nothing that these two parashiyos are broken up into two different parts. There are two parashiyos. There's the parasha of Teruma, and there's the parasha of Tetzaveh. Everyone knows that Teruma deals with construction, and parashas Tetzaveh deals with clothing. Now, there is an exception. The exception is the Mizbeach HaZohov, Okay, we're going to get to that. But what's going on? How? And we're the only place you find the names mentioned of Bezalel and Oholiyah ben Achitzmach Lamatei Dan is only in reference to construction. You don't find their names associated with the big day kahuna. Haloi davar. And the answer is Einochinami. When it comes to building, there is a difference between, you know, the Mishkan and the Kohanim is a dogma for every single person. You go to a Simcha, Chosen Kala, so you always, it's a Mikdash Me'at, they should build the Bayis, Neman, the Yisrael. I told you last week, the very beautiful word is, there's a minute to say to a Chosen Kala that the Zivug should be Oile Yofe. What is the gematria of the word Yofe? 95 is the gematria of the word Yofe. What is, according to the counting of the minyan, the Taryag mitzvahs, lefi the minyan of the chinuch, which is the 95th mitzvah? The 95th mitzvah, the chinuch, everyone, there are many different calculations of the mitzvahs, the minyan mitzvahs. The chinuch calculates the mitzvahs. What's mitzvah number 95? Mitzvah 95 is v'osuli mikdash v'shachanti b'soicham. Is the mitzvah deraisa to build a base ha-mikdash? Is mitzvah number 95 in the order of 613, according to the chinuch? 95 is yafe. The zivik should be oile yafe, because your binyan, every chosen kala, is a mikdash ma'at. It's a mikdash, a bayis. You have a bayis, the makam hashua sashchina. To build a bayis, you need specialists. Not everyone knows how to build. Not everyone, whether you're dealing with ruchnius, kashmius, not everyone knows what's, you want to make a school. What's the curriculum? What should we learn? What should we teach? When? At what age? How to do it? When you're dealing with construction, you need a mumche. Clothing, every person wears clothing. Every person is entitled to go to the store and to decide what clothing wants to wear. Okay, you go, so what size are you? Stand up, stand straight. We have to measure your thumbs. This, you want tight pants, you want loose pants, you want to wear a vest, you want a collar that's pointy, a collar that's not pointy, you know. Clothing, every person has a, I'm wearing the clothing. Every person is a participant in the clothing that he wears. You walk into a building, did you decide which wallpaper? Did anyone here in this room decide what wallpaper they're going to put up in this room? Did anyone decide what color, what kind of floor they're going to put? Did anyone decide over here what kind of tables and chairs they're going to have? Someone here made the decision for you. Someone made you come into this building, you trust that this shul is run by responsible, smart people who have made decisions exactly what the shul should look like, what kind of materials it should be made from, what kind of construction, what kind of lights, what kind of floor, what kind of tables, chairs. Someone made the decisions for you and you trust them. Maybe you got lucky. Maybe you got lucky and you were on a committee. You had a say, but even if you were on a committee, you didn't make the only decision. There's always a committee. There's always someone else. There's always other people. Clothing. When you walked in today wearing the clothing on your back, who decided that clothing?
My wife.
Your wife. Your wife and children. Dad, don't embarrass me by wearing that hat, because no one's going to want to marry me. They're going to say my father is a funny guy. Okay, no, that's not necessarily true. You wear whatever you want to wear. You come over here into shul, you come, you get dressed in the morning, you decide the clothing you want to wear. There's no Bezalel and Oholiyah to make that decision. When it comes to the Binyan HaMikdash is a dogma. The Mishkan, the Mikdash, is a dogma for every person. In every community has a Mikdash Me'at. This shul is our little Mikdash Me'at. Now, at this moment, tonight you'll go to another Mikdash Me'at. Tomorrow morning you'll go to another one. Then you'll go from Mincha to another one. Mitzvah Shabbos to another one. And Sunday morning to another one. Okay, so everyone has, but it's at the moment, it's a Mikdash Me'at. Oh, you know, there's a lot going on here. We need a Bezalel and we need an Oholiyah to figure out how to build this place. What is the, in every dimension, where should the bima go? What kind of shiurim should there be? What type of the zmanim? But when you get dressed in the morning and you come to shul, when you wear your Shabbos clothing, when you wear your Yom Tov clothing, when you wear clothing to a simcha, to a chasana of your own family,
I'm so sorry.
Who is the one who makes that decision? Who is the one that makes that decision? You make that decision. Kol chachmei lev. Every single person is a participant in the clothing. Every person is the Kohen Gadol of his own home. Okay, the Rosh Habayis, all of your children, they're the Kohanim, the Het Yoitim. And you who sit Berosh, you're the Kohen Gadol. You wear the Me'il, you wear the Ephod, you wear the Tzitz, you are the Dugma, they all look up to you. And you present yourself with a Tzura in the clothing that you select. Every single person is the Chachmei Lev. When it comes to Parshas, Teruma, it's Oholiyov, Ben Achisamach, and Bezalel, who are the master craftsmen. They're in charge. When it comes to clothing, you're in charge. Kol Chachmei Lev, every single person is the Chachmei Lev. Now, if you want to go take this idea further, okay, this is a novel, a little bit of a chiddush, to go a little bit further, there's a very, very basic question. Why is the Mizbeach HaZohav in this week's parasha? The Mizbeach HaZohav is an object. It's like a table, a chair. It's an oran, it's a Mizbeach. It belongs in Parashas Teruma. This is one of the most basic questions to which there's really no answer to. All the answers you're going to say don't really answer the question. Just going in circles. The Mizbeach HaZohav, the dimensions of what it looks like and how it's made, is in Parshas Tetzaveh, the Parsha of the clothing, when it should really be in Parshas Terumah. There's no clothing in Parshas Terumah. There's no clothing. Parshas Terumah, there's not even one item of clothing in Parshas Terumah. Parshas Terumah is pure construction, pure objects. Objects. And now when it comes to Parshas Tetzaveh, nu, let's be fair, clothing, no objects. You left out the Mizbeach HaZohav. Why is it not in Parshas Terumah? So I want to say an answer. Again, it's not going to be the end, but it's an idea. You know, there are only 100 ideas. Because Parshas Terumah is under the domain of Bezalel and Oholiyav. Parshas Tetzaveh is under the domain of Kol Chachmei Lev. Every person is equal. There's no Bezalel and Oholiyav in Parshas Tetzaveh. And that means the Mizbeach HaZohav, little Mizbeach, that is for every person. The big Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, follow the rules. Follow the rules. There's someone in charge. These are dugmois. When it comes to the whole Mishkan, you're just a guest. You walk into a shul, behave yourself. Behave yourself, follow the rules. They tell you where to sit, you sit there. They tell you to wear a mask, you wear a mask. You do what you're told. Follow the rules. When it comes to the Mizbeach HaZohav, it's not under the jurisdiction of Bezalel and Oholiyav. It's private. Every person in their private life is obligated to bring to Hashem Kitoris, to bring Hashem Anachas Ruach on a personal level. And no one can tell you the rule and of how you bring Hashem Anachas Ruach. What does it say about the Ketores? They make the Mizbeach. V'hektir olav aron ha-Ketores samim ba-boi-ge-boi-ge. Be'eti v'yos neves yak-tirena. Uva-ha-lois aron ha-neves be'erabam yak-tirena. Ketores tamid. Where's the pasuk? Where's the pasuk? I'm looking for one second. One second. The Osisa Mizbeach Mikdak HaTorah. Okay, it tells you exactly how to build it. Okay, you put it before the paroiches. He tells you all the vehikter lov ketores samim ba boiker behitivos esektu v'halos adesanis v'nabarim yaktan yitzot hamiluf neshem lor seichem leisal lov kerezovil lemincha. He doesn't say the nachat Rashi. Then Rashi says it though. It was Rashi that said it. Okay, Rashi over here says, let's find it. Yaktirena leisal olav. I know I saw Rashi over here said, Lahalo is Kita Ashagatoris Gagoi. Let's see very quickly. There's a beautiful Rashi about the Gatoris. Lahalo is Yaktirim Chol Yoim Prad Maktir Speyach. Can't find it. All right, but it's got to be somewhere over here by the Gatoris. The Gatoris. The purpose of the Keturah is to give a nachas ruach to Hashem. And the fact that it is omitted and it's put in this parasha, this is the guide, the yesoid. This parasha is for the yochid, the chol chachmei leif. Every single person should build their own mizbeach hazohav with its badim and with all of its compartments and all different things, because every single person has his own avodas Hashem to bring under his rules and his understanding a nachas ruach to be makter the ketores lefnei Hashem, and not just to bring the ketores, to build the structure, to create the situation. When you bring the ketores, you just don't put it on the floor. You need a mizbeach. You have to create the environment to bring for Hashem the nachas ruach. How do you know this idea is partially true? Because Chazal tell us they never allowed a kohen to bring the ketores more than once. That was the rule. That's the minig of a sandekois. Sandekois, you do not let a person be a sandek. You know, a family doesn't give someone to be a sandek more than once. We compare it, Yehuda HaChosid, we compare it to the Ketores. The Ketores, they never allowed a Koyen to offer the Ketores more than once. Everyone, Chadoshim HaKetores. Why? Because the Ketores is like clothing. It's clothing. It's not like you walk into shul, okay, follow the rules. You're not the boss here. This is a tzibur. This is a building which was constructed for the tzibur and their officers. There's a president, there's a rabbi, there's a whole hierarchy over here. You didn't decide who, what kind of tables, what kind of lighting, what kind of wallpaper, what kind of bookcase. There's a Bezalel and an Oholiyav. They are in charge. When it comes to clothing, you decide in the morning what you want to wear. You go to the store, you decide what kind of clothing you want to buy. Ketores, every single person must get a chance to bring the Ketores. Lighting of the menorah, who lit the menorah? Aaron, it says, Melamichli, every single day, as long as he was alive, he lit the menorah. There are rules, not every coin. You think you're going to bring the korban? No. There are rules. Who gets to do the avoida? Who doesn't get to do the avoida? Ketores is different. Everyone gets an individual chance because the ketores is misamel, something that's private. If it's private, it's not under the jurisdiction of Bezalel and Oholiyav. It's under the jurisdiction of V'chol Chachmilev. Everyone is unique. This is the yesoy, the chilik between Teruma and Tetzaveh. Teruma is the parsha of Bezalel and Oholiyav. Everything has to fit according. They're the boss. You're just an individual. You're part of a team. They're the leaders. They're the manager. They're in charge. You behave yourself. Parshas Tetzaveh is a dogma of the Chol Chachmei Lev. Don't tell me what to do. Individual rights. Don't tell me what clothing to wear. You decide your own which clothing you want to wear, how you want to present yourself in your avodas Hashem. Ketores, and not just the ketores, the structure to bring ketores, the environment, that's an Bezalel and Oholiyav, they don't get involved in that. Every individual has to make his own Mizbeach HaZohav. It's a dogma. Of course, there's only one Mizbeach HaZohav in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's by being presented in Parashas Tetzaveh, every individual has to present has to create his own environment to be bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu a Nachas Ruach, which is what the Keteris represents. Okay, let's go to another idea. Quick, it's a short idea. I think it's this. So the very beginning of Rashi, beginning of the parasha of Yahat Tzadis Mnei Yisrael Vichu Lechashem and Zayisach. Zoch, pure oil. Kosis Lama Or Lahalois Ner Tamid. We're only dealing over here with the lighting of the Menorah. Nothing else. Yet Rashi over here has a very strong need to bring into this pasuk the Menachos. A Mincha. The Menacha is you bring Hashem a gift. What does it say about the Menacha? By the way, what does it say about the what does Rashi say? By the Shem and Zayizach, Kosis, Hazeisim Hoyakoi Seish Bemachteshes. They would crush in a mortar. The Einan Teuchenim Borechaim, it's like more delicate. The mortar is very delicate. It's not going to crush it too hard. Like Goldilocks. You don't want to go to an extreme. If you're going to hit it, excuse me, too hard, it's going to bring out some sediment, some psoilus. Kedesh lo yihu boi shvam, you use only what's called a machtet, it's a hand mortar, and not a machine, and not a rechaim, a mill. A mill is a much larger, more intense grinding process. And look what he says now. V'yachar shehoitzi tipa rishayna. The first drop of oil, the purest drop of oil, which has absolutely no sediment, Machnison Yidon. That drop of oil is what you're going to use to light the Neirois of the Menorah. Now, what do you do with the Aleph? The Aleph has a lot of oil left. I'll take that very, very same Aleph. Machnison L'Reichayim. Put it into the very powerful grinder, the mill, which is operated either with big, much larger stones. V'toychanon. The Hashemen Hasheni, what comes out now, don't you dare use that for the menorah, pasul the menorah, but the kosher lamenachos, shenemar kosis lamor, viloi kosis lamenachos. It's medayik in the very first pasuk of the sixth parasha. Shemen zayizoch kosis lamor, lahaloi kos lamor. Viloy lamor, viloy kosis lamenochos. It's not, yeah, it only has to be kosis, pure, for the menorah, but does not need to be kosis for the menochos. The way Rashi describes this, though, is it tells you take an olive, squeeze it, get the tipa rishayna, that's going to be lor. Continue the process. Continue with that aleph, continue with it, and then continue to crush it, and then when you're going to get to the next level, that goes for a mincha. Okay, to cut to the chase, I'm trying to suggest over here, is Rashi is coming to teach you a big yisoid in priorities. The menorah represents Jewish education. That's a basic, obvious thing. The menorah represents Torah. Is the Or HaTorah, like Yehuda Maisa Oira, Oira Zu Torah. The menorah is Torah Shel Alpeh. L'haloi Sner Tamid. All of the symbolism of the menorah, there's only an infinite number of Mamari Chazal that dwell upon the fact that the menorah is all about the Or HaTorah. Why the menachos? Food. You give a gift, who eats the menachos? Well, generally, the Kohanim eat the menachos. You bring flour, and you mingle it with oil. You take a kemitza, and you put a kemitza, three fingers on the fire of the Mizbeach, and what happens to the leftover flour? It's a gift. The Kohanim have lunch. You give it to the Kohanim. A minchas Kohen is kolil. The whole thing is burnt. But Kohanim are the minority. Or you give it as a fire offering, even if it's a minchas Kohen, give it a fire offering. What is the message? The message is the priority in life. The purest oil should go for Jewish education. Whatever is left over from that olive, that you can eat. You can fill up your stomach. You can enjoy yourself. You can give as a gift. You can burn it as a fire offering. What goes as a mincha is always the leftovers. Where did the best go? The best went for Jewish education. It's the same aleph. I have an aleph. In one aleph, I'm bringing a beautiful mincha to the Beis HaMikdash, a fire offering. Mincha means a gift. Okay, mincha, you don't call a carbon a mincha. Mm-hmm. You call a flower offering a mincha. A mincha is a gift. Whether you're giving it as a fire offering to Hashem, whether you're giving it to a kohen, I'm giving you the kohen. I'm giving you the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm giving you leftovers. Because the best part of the aleph, you know where that went? That went for Jewish education. And this is a very frightening concept. Because how often in life do people, they put the priority of the menorah before the priority, before what goes in their stomach?
They just give a drop.
Or before what goes into, I mean, going into your stomach is, or presentation as a gift to show, to earn goodwill with other people, or to for consumption, which is symbolic of your own pleasure, it's a very big challenge. Can a person always say, unfortunately, there are people that the first thing is, I have to go live in a neighborhood where, you know, we have a very very comfortable lifestyle. Everything should be very, you know, enjoyable and pleasant. Education? Wherever. We'll look at the local yeshivas and we'll see which, you know, where my kids fit into, and we'll send them to one of the yeshivas, whatever it is. Unfortunately, that's the way of life for most people, for many people, is you start what kind of community you want to, and then we'll figure out where I'll send the kids. I'm sure they'll find a good school. And then there are people who, the first thing is, what kind of children do I want? What kind of education do I want to give my children? Let me study all of the different schools, and that is where I'm going to go, and so that's the priority. And then I'm sure I'll find a nice house, good enough, for better or for worse. I'll find a nice house, a nice environment, a nice this, a nice that. I'll fit into the community. What is, you have one aleph. Rashi, the way the Rashi describes, you have one aleph. That one aleph, you squeeze out a drop, the purest drop. And then there's leftovers. And the leftovers, you go and you use for as a fire offering. You get a lot of COVID when you bring a fire offering, no? And you bring a carbon, a mincha. A mincha is a gift. Part of it is eaten. Part of it is offered on the Mizbeach. Rashi, you know, if not for this Rashi, the way I would assume it would be is you want to bring a gift, you know what you do? I don't have time to go squeeze the olive. Put a little drop here, and then crush it. What I would do is, I want to bring a mincha, so you take the olives, and you put the olives into a full olive, into a rechayim, and you crush the whole thing, and it produces oil. In the oil, will be some of the best oil, and will be some of the, because I put into rechayim, it crushed it too hard, there's going to be some shemarim as well. I have patience to go take every single olive and first crush it and produce the tipa rishayna, and then go and take that same olive and go and crush it and produce quality B. From Rashi, it almost sounds like Hashem bedafka wants quality B for the menachas. That's maybe an external well. You get the impression from Rashi, I would think that if for menachas, you take a full olive, a groisa olive, and you bring it to the mortar, the rechayim, and you crush it, and you produce oil. Now this oil that you're going to produce, because you crushed it in the rechayim, it's going to be 95% grade B, but because I crushed it in the mortar, there's going to be a little bit of grade A, because that's the way it is. You have some very good oil, and it's going to be mixed with the shemarim. Rashi seems to say, no. When you bring a mincha, I want the entire thing to be grade B. I want all of grade A should already have been removed for a better purpose. Because when you bring me a mincha and there is only grade B and all of grade A has already been removed and been directed to the menorah, that means you have your priorities in order. You bring me a mincha, every mashu of the mincha is grade B. Where's grade A? You couldn't even bring me a little. You give me a whole, you bring someone hamantashen. I only like the chocolate hamantashen. I don't like the apricot. I don't like the raspberry. I don't like the stuff. I don't like the seeds. So you bring someone a whole plate, 50 hamantashen. There's only one chocolate hamantashen. All the other ones are the ones that I don't like in Malaysia. I don't like. Listen, why you tell the guy, listen, what can, listen, at least I brought you one. At least I brought you one. The Rebbe, I don't even want one. I only want the apricot. You know why? Because all of the one, the chocolate should have gone. Every single should have gone for the person that you really like. Okay, I'm gonna say the example. I gave it to my kids. You know, I bought them. They were 20 chocolate, and they were 50. They were 50 apricot. So I gave my kids, they like the chocolate, I gave all my kids the 20 chocolate. And you, I gave the leftover. But you know, you're a nice guy, so I left you one chocolate. Awesome. Hashem says, that's not what I want. I want, my hanah should be that you gave your children every last one of the chocolate. I only want the ones that I don't like, because I want to show you that you have to have your priorities in order. All of your resources have to be directed to what is truly important. Take the same aleph. Every aleph you have to break up. The first drop goes to Torah. And the leftovers, bidafka the leftovers, go for the menachas. That's the nachas ruach. To show me that you have priorities and you bedafka not giving me the best, because you've given the best to something more important. That's Jewish education. It's a good speech for a dinner? Chaim Lund dinner?
Not really. You're only giving
me a drop. Boys, I take out your wallet and give us the credit card that has the most credit. Give it. We're going to come and we're going to max it out. this is a very deep Rashi. Okay, another quick Vart. This Vart to me is very chavis, but I hope I'm not going to butcher this Vart. We have over here the Ephod. Ephod is an amazing garment. It's just mind-boggling what is in the Ephod. And there's a very interesting Rashi. Rashi says, I'm not going to be able to go through, do it justice, but Rashi says, you go to the Ephod, and then it talks about the shoulder pieces. What is the Ephod basically is a garment that covers the back of the body, the lower back of the body. And then there are shoulder straps that go from the garment, it goes like an apron, like you look at an apron, okay, an apron, it goes up, and there are shoulders, there's a portion, and there's a belt, and then there are shoulder straps. The shoulder straps, they come over the shoulders. Going from the back of the body, goes up the back, on the left and on the right, and it comes over the shoulder, like until here. Over the shoulders. And then it says, what do you do on the shoulder straps? On the shoulders? I want you to put on the shoulder straps mishpitzos, settings. I want you to put settings. Why? It doesn't say. The order is very important. It says over here, what should you do? Let's go back and look at the pasuk. Rashi is really amazing how he says these words. I want you to go make the ephod. Let's read the ephod. The asu es ho ephod. You have to remember, the ephod comes before the choshev. The asu es ho ephod. Zav techeles. The choshev ho ephod. There's going to be an eshav. Kata shtei avnei shoyan. I'm sorry. Here's the part, the very beginning. Shtei chesefois choivrois yeloi el shnei kitzoisa vichubar. There shall be two shoulder straps. Okay, that's fine. Then there's going to be a belt. And then it says, you shall put on the very top, you shall put the avnei shoyam. Okay, and then it says, here it is, here's what I'm looking for. It's the beginning of Sheni. Okay, this can be very easy to remember. When they lane, you come to Sheni. This is where the action is. You've made a beautiful, beautiful ephod. And it says now, V'yosiso, you shall make mishpitzois zohov. You shall make gold settings. Ushtei shar shiroi zohov tohor migbolois, ta'ase oisa, ma'ase avois, v'nosat es shar shiroi zcho avoisois al ha-mishpitzois. And you shall put into these gold settings chains. Shar shiroi's chains. Now, what do you do with the chains? What do you do with it? It doesn't say. Now, we're not used to this. We're used to it. We know everything. Right? We know everything. So we know that ultimately that these gold settings and these chains are going to be used to support the Choshen. It's going to be used to support the Choshen. Really, to make a long story short, really, if you were writing the Torah, it's very likely, I mean, I can't predict anything in people's minds, but it's very likely you would put the order the other way around. You would first write about the Choshen. I want you to make a beautiful Choshen. After you make the beautiful Choshen, how is it going to be supported? Okay, now let's make for the Choshen an ephod. And the ephod is going to support the Choshen. Look in Parashas, Truma. The first thing it says is make the Aron. And then after it says make the Aron, okay, now make a bayis to house the Aron. The first thing it says in Parashas Truma is make an Aron. An Aron, the Kapoires. Oh, God, what am I going to do with the Aron? Oh, you got an Aron. Okay, now go and build the bayis around the Aron. So they ask the question, which one should you do first? You make the kelim first, but the order, when the Torah tells you there's a difference between the instructions of what's going on versus when you actually construct it. In other words, what I'm trying to say over here is that the oroin of the clothing is the choshen. In the Beis HaMikdash, there's an oroin, there's a kodesh kodoshim, There's a structure, there's a ceiling, there's a chotzer. In the order of what shall be, what are we made? Now, we're not talking about the actual, when it was actually made, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you instructions, I want you to build for me a bayis. Hashem begins by describing the most sacred object in
what's
this makom.
Exactly.
What's
well,
most...
Right,
exactly. When you're actually, it's rebirth. But when you're describing, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have an Aron. The Shechina is going to rest on the Aron. In Parashas Truma, what comes first? The Aron. And then, well, we need to build a bayis for the Aron. When it comes to the clothing, it's the same thing. What is the most sacred object of clothing? The Choshen. Because in the Choshen are the Urim, V'tumim, Hashem's name. Just like in the Aron is the Luchos, inside of the Choshen is Hashem's name, the Urim V'tumim. It is sacred. It is Kodesh Kodoshim. In the Bayis Sheni, there was no Aron and there was no Urim V'tumim. The Urim V'tumim is equivalent to the Aron. In the structure, you have the Aron. In the clothing, you have the Urim V'tumim. So if you were writing the parasha, what would you write first? You would write first the Choshen. Then you would write, the same when you write the Aron first, then you write how you have to go build a house to house the Aron. You have to build support. I need an ephod to support the Choshen. But it doesn't do that. First it tells you, design this gorgeous garment that has chains, that has shoulder straps. Build a bridge to nowhere. Build a bridge to nowhere. And then it tells you, oh, by the way, maybe you should settle Alaska on the other side of the bridge. Okay, build the... That's exactly what it's saying. What is going on over here? The order is totally reversed. It's totally reversed. Make mishmitzoy zahav, ushtei shar shuay zahav tamig bulois, and then it says yasisa choyshe mishamasei choyshev. When Moshe Rabbeinu was told to make the choyshen at this moment in time, before he gets, what was he thinking? What in the world is going on here? Hashem told me to make this funny garment, a vest. It's open in the center, covers my back, has a belt, and has these shoulder straps, and chains hanging from the shoulder straps. What? What's going on here? What is Moshe thinking? Then, takes a break. You know, it's a parasha stuma. Get a break. Recess. During recess, what's going on over here? After recess, oh, I want you to make a choyshen, and now you can understand retroactively the purpose of the shoulder straps and the chains is to support the Shem Hashem. This is a mashal for life. When a person is young, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts him in all these difficult situations. All these situations. Why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting on your shoulders. Your shoulders represent something that carries you. Something that you grace the plates. You carry on your shoulders responsibility. And there are chains. The Ribbono Shel Olam in life prepares a person for the load that he's going to have to carry later in life. In life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates in the person's early years the ephod, a garment with a belt and shoulder straps and chains. What's the purpose of the shoulder straps? To carry the weight of something that's coming. What's coming? No one knows what's coming. But eventually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives every single person his own custom, Urim Vitumim, his own tafkid in life, his own purpose, his own goal. But first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares the person with the ability, the tools he needs to carry on his shoulders what's coming next. When it comes to the Oroim, this is the Klal Yisrael. Like this is there. We deal in the normal way, but life is mysterious. The clothing of the Kohen Gadol is a symbol for the clothing, the levush that a person, the midos and the hanhogos that a person has to deal with his entire life. First, Hashem prepares you with how you're going to carry, and then later will come what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to carry. Correct.
Amen.